Hi, welcome to another Coffee Time Chat. This is the first episode in a series we are doing with Strategic Solution Partners, one of our expert partners, where we're going to look at sustainability in the hotel industry. Across this series, we will be looking at different aspects of sustainability in hotels and asking, are we seeing genuine efforts or are we falling into the greenwashing trap? Joining us for this episode to share their knowledge and expertise are David Caston and Mark Sherwin. For this discussion, we're focusing on the operational side of a hotel and we ask a number of questions. What does sustainability actually mean? With inflation, high interest rates, and staffing issues, can we really prioritize sustainability issues at this present time? And if we can prioritize them, what are some of the short-term, low-hanging fruit ideas hotels could look to adopt? Taking a more strategic viewpoint, how should we approach medium and long-term projects? And finally, we ask, are we seeing genuine leadership in this area, or is it more of a tick box exercise to hit regulations and give the hotel PR team something to talk about? Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Today is the first of a number of videos that we're going to be doing with Strategic Solution Partners, who are one of our expert partners, where we're exploring the topic of sustainability in the hotel industry. So, David, if I can just pass over to you, that would be great.
Thank you, Trevor. Yes, I'm one of SSP's finance experts, both at the operational level of the properties as well as corporate. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of consulting work with a lot of SSP clients as well as my own clients. And, you know, we spend a lot of time, driving results at the operational level.
Super. Thank you. And Mark, over to you, please.
Thank you, Trevor. Mark Sherwin, after 30 plus years with Marriott and all of their brands, and in 8 years with Sonesta growing that hotel management company, I've joined SSP as an operational expert, focusing really on all segments of the hospitality industry. I'm probably one of the few that have managed both the 66 room extended stay hotel and a 400 room luxury hotel. Knowledge across all of the spectrums and, our love for the industry and passion is only mirrored by the change in the industries around the environment and things that have impacted how hotels operate. So anxious to get into the conversation.
Yeah, and you teed it up beautifully, Mark. I mean, you've done this before. So let's start then with a simple question. Okay, so does within the hotel industry does sustainability mean the same thing to everyone, or are there in different interpretations? So just general thoughts and comments from either of you guys around that.
Yeah, I'll tee it up first, and I'm sure David get equal thoughts around this. I think there definitely is different perspectives. Number one, based on the stakeholder, right? Whether you're an owner, whether you're a manager, whether you're an operator, whether you're a consumer, your passion and focus on what sustainability means and the impact to you and the importance. And then just the pure definition around sustainability. You know, it certainly has an environmental aspect. It certainly has an energy conservation aspect. It certainly has a social responsibility aspect. All of those kind of play into the concept of sustainability. And, with the way that our country and our world really is thinking about the conservation of natural resources and things that are happening environmentally around the world, it's a big topic, not only in the hotel industry, but in all physical construction and building applications. So, yes, I think sustainability is in the mind of the beholder, and and I think there are different definitions.
That makes sense. And David, your perspective?
No, I echo that 100%. You know, depending on who the constituent is that you're speaking about, you look in the world today, and not only in hospitality, but sustainability is just one of the benchmarks in corporate ESG policies. And you look at how widespread these policies are today, and how they become adopted in very different businesses and complementary businesses to hospitality. You know, it really depends on where your focus is on the day that you want to look at those policies. And again, who you're dealing with, whether you're dealing with an operator, who today I think will say, well, yeah, we do everything we can that's sustainable, to, ownership that, really is forced into the issue at many different levels. Including lenders today that, have become very particular in their ESG lending habits. So, yeah, it is very different depending on the audience that you're speaking to in terms of ESG.
That's interesting. I think what it highlights is the complexity that we have such a simple word, but as you say, you could ask mm-hmm. 50 people and it could all mean something different to them. If we've got increasing costs, if we've got inflation, we've got higher interest rates, we've got staffing challenges, how do we bridge that gap between genuine sustainable efforts and greenwashing? What is your kind of take at the moment of where you think we might be on that spectrum?
Yeah, I'll jump in first. I think there's two aspects. I think number one, it's a requirement in many areas, both either governmental, legislative, as David said, maybe fiduciarily, and certainly from a consumer perspective. I know that many of the RFPs from corporations, they won't consider a hotel that doesn't have certain life safety, sustainability initiatives, energy conservation initiatives. So from that perspective, it's not just a bandwagon piece. Mm-hmm. Doing good makes good business sense. So I think that's certainly an aspect of it. I also think that to your point about the public face of mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. there's many aspects of sustainability that, people don't necessarily even know about, care about, double pane windows or, things of that nature that assist with energy management systems in a hotel or things of that nature. Mm-hmm. They're kind of behind the scenes. But then you have certainly brands and companies that use it as a differentiator. Mm-hmm. I think it's a way that it can create a point of exclusivity and experiential for a particular brand. I mean, Ritz-Carlton has done a wonderful job, for example, of partnering with the Cousteau environment mm-hmm. and kind of bringing that whole concept of saving the sea and the ocean into an experience that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And other brands have done similar. So I think I don't think it's a trend of a bandwagon. I think it is certainly a movement within the industry that you need to move in that direction or you're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
But I also think that there is that marketing aspect of it and positioning of it to try to figure out how to use it to your advantage and to create some competitive advantage for your brand.
That makes sense. David?
Yeah, I don't think you'd find a hotelier anywhere, in fact, anyone anywhere that would say that, sustainability is not only morally right, but it's ethically right. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we need to go to, preserve the environment that we live in today. I think when you start to look back at how we became sustainable, it was a little bit more than greenwashing. I mean, there were some clear, measurable steps that we're taking, from eliminating a lot of single-use plastics where possible. Although, I still think that there's a lot that can be done in that area. It's one area that, I think is very hard to adopt. Eliminating straws. But, I think in the early days, you didn't necessarily get the right alternatives, and you saw some of that creeping back in. So, you know, I go out today and, you know, places that eliminated straws, now all of a sudden it's kind of crept back in because the alternatives weren't great. You know, people didn't having paper straws in their cocktail. You know, now you're seeing more, you know, sustainable bamboo use. In cocktails. And I think that, you know, when you look at guest amenities in the early days, it was generally non-branded, nondescript product that, you know, you might have been afraid to use because you've never seen it, you never heard of it. And it came from, you know, a 2 gallon jar. And you know, today you've got, you know, great companies like Pineapple Hospitality that are, you know, just one of the leaders in eco-friendly hotel guest amenities that, you know, are now branded with things like Tommy Bahama. So, you know, they become easily adoptable. But, you know, a lot of that too is driven by cost. You know, and as we've come out of the pandemic, nobody really wanted to spend any extra money by being green. So, you know, you hit the grassroots efforts at being sustainable, but some of the higher cost items you kind of put on the back burner and, you know, just agreed that at some point in time you'd get them done.
I guess there was, there would always, there's also some areas which are maybe areas that we, that could be adopted, maybe more short term, maybe not such a heavy cost burden straight off the bat. There might be some obvious areas of low-hanging fruit that could at least be explored or looked at to evaluate. And I think what I'd like to do is get both of your insights and maybe share your experiences or what you've seen of maybe some of those shorter term, more obvious low-hanging fruit areas where you would be advising hoteliers to be looking at to try and consider their sustainability efforts. Who wants to pick up on that?
Yeah, I'll just throw out a few things. You know, I think it, it really just requires you to take a look at all of your internal processes and understand where waste and potential, you know, things that are not environmentally friendly are happening. So, for example, in food and beverage areas, the amount of literally wet waste that goes on in a kitchen in a large hotel is astronomical. And there's actually an ROI by having some great products that can turn wet waste into, waste that either is compostable or is actually just flushed right through the drainage system. And that actually creates a savings in terms of the amount of waste management costs that a hotel might
Okay, I'm with you. So rather than having waste collected in some way and a cost associated, there are things that you could do to be reducing that aspect. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in fact, I've seen one hotel chain that actually utilizes a machine that reduces all of their wet waste. So all of the food product that has a high water content reduces it down to basically a solid, and then packages it and resells it in their gift shop as fertilizer, compostable fertilizer with a branded approach. And so that's just a great example of, you know, basically, you know, putting your face forward. I think other areas in terms of, I mean, water conservation, in terms of making sure that you've got appropriate, you know, usage in the guest room by the consumer, but also, you know, through the hotel operation. Are you, you know, are you using reclaimed water for irrigation, you know, in your operation? Are you making sure that your laundry, if you still have an in-house laundry, is operating effectively and efficiently? You know, have you done the low hanging fruit of changing out your lighting to energy efficient lighting? You know, there's a host of things that, and the American Hotel Lodging Association has a checklist that you can utilize to assess, you know, how does your hotel score against some of the things that are easily, as you say, low-hanging fruit, And then as I have found in my experience is that most owners would fund an ROI project that might have a little bit longer term return. But the fact that there is an ROI over a period of time and that it's the right thing sustainability wise, mm-hmm. Would support, you know, in terms of, reclaiming water in certain ways, cogeneration projects on energy, energy efficient, mechanicals would just be a few examples of higher cost items that there's a return that owners would be more willing to fund.
Makes sense. David, from your side?
Yeah, and my initial perspective, Mark is absolutely right. And I think that the vast majority of hotels today do what I would call tick the box in terms of, the low-hanging fruit. Those are the easy things to do. But I think where we need to take this now is the longer term perspective, the mid to longer term perspective, particularly for, existing hotels as opposed to new hotels that, can be built either with LEED or EDGE standards. Mm-hmm. But it's those tweeners, the older hotels that we really need to start addressing. And again, other than the low-hanging fruit, what are the things that we should be doing in the next 5 to 10 to 20 years that require capital planning? Because, quite frankly, we live in a world today where regulatory changes are happening very quickly, particularly around the environment. As we're going through now, one of the hottest summers globally,
yeah.
Not only in the United States, but globally.
Frightening.
I think it's just going to press this issue even further. And there are going to be some, regulatory incentives, to get businesses over the line. And I think that, hospitality could be a leader in this field to say, okay, this is the plan going forward. We've done all the easy stuff. Now it's the harder stuff that we really need to start to think about.
And what would kind of fall into that camp? What would be things that if you were going in working with them and you're consulting with hotels day in, day out, that's what you do as individuals, that's what strategic solution partners do. If you're sitting down now and you're saying, right, come on guys, we've gone through, we've done the checklist, we've got the low-hanging fruit, we've got to start looking at these medium and longer term strategies, where would you guys be, what would you be talking about? David, you kind of kicked off that.
Yeah, I think the first things that you start to look at is, over a period of time, you're replacing building management systems. And, it's a matter of, what's it going to cost to retrofit an existing hotel? It's generally a big job because, if you're working on a two-pipe versus a four-pipe system, you're talking about a tremendous amount of work that, quite frankly, hospitality doesn't really like to talk about those things because it may create disruption. You operate in a lot of markets today where you don't have the opportunity to shut down rooms so that you can get this work done. You may be running an annual occupancy of 80% plus. It may not be seasonal. So, you're going to have to bite the bullet because not only do you have the cost of implementing things like that, you've got the cost of disruption, which is, a real cost. And then, in the environment today where, inflation is high, interest rates are high, the last thing an owner of a building wants to do is talk about shutting it down for part of the year to get these projects done. But, at a certain point in time, they have to be done. And, cutting corners at that point in time just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I think I agree with David that a lot of it is mechanical oriented. It's HVAC. It's and again, size of hotel. I mean, larger hotels have central plants. Smaller hotels, have incremental units by room, and there's a huge labor cost involved with those individual units, mm-hmm. And with the cost of labor continuing to grow, there's that consideration. I think the other thing that that I've noticed as I've been out in different markets is every market is a little bit different in how they regulate and how they offer services to support sustainability. I was quite frankly shocked. I was working with a hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. They don't offer recycling in Nashville, Tennessee. It's very difficult to find.
Nashville doesn't have recycling.
Nashville does not have a recyclable vendor supplier for commercial usage. Okay. For residential, yes, but not for commercial. And then even within that one category, recyclables, I mean, you're seeing a huge change, right? I mean, you know, 5 years ago, it was single stream recycling and, you know, everything goes into the recycle bin, you know, glass, cardboard, plastics, aluminum. Now, you know, we're finding that a lot of these we're ending up in landfill because it wasn't pure recyclables. And so I think there's a governmental and a community move towards making sure that the environment supports what the businesses want to do. The same is true with energy. I mean, you looked at the rolling blackouts in Texas and in non-regulated markets. I was working with a hotel in Dallas, Texas, that after their power was shut off, the local electrical utility charged the hotel $1 million to turn their power back on in a non-regulated environment. And it's, I mean, huge lawsuits going on. This does not occur, of course, in all markets, but it does happen. And so, you know, the entire community needs to work together to figure out in those types of situations, as David mentioned, in the hottest environment that we've ever experienced, how do we temper our, you know, utility and energy usage so that we don't get into these types of situations? And it's not just hotels. It's obviously any large, you know, complexes. And, you know, it's interesting on the commercial side as that's changing from office to warehouse and data centers and, you know, the utilization of those buildings. You know, how do you retrofit and, you know, how does that, you know, again, make sure it's sustainable as those buildings move into alternate uses.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And actually, you've just used the word retrofit there. And David, you spoke about new builds as well. What are the, I mean, you alluded to, David, a couple of, I think you used a couple of standards or something, because I guess when a new property is being built now, they have to comply with different regulations than obviously a property would have done 20 years ago that are going to be much more energy efficient and environmentally. What can you kind of tell us about that side of things?
Yeah, so in today's environment, you're either LEED certified or EDGE certified.
And LEED or EDGE, right.
LEED or EDGE. And EDGE is really geared towards new building. LEEDs is more towards existing buildings as well as the communities that they exist in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, both of them require an investment. You know, you're talking about, you know, different products, recycled products versus new, which again, you look sometimes at recycle and, you know, it comes with a cost. You know, when you're building a hotel and it costs you, you know, $2 million to build at EDGE, but it would cost you $1.5 million to build it non-EDGE, what are you going to do? You know, if you're in a market that, you know, gets a $30 average rate versus a market that does a $150 average rate, you're going to look at that ROI and say, well, wait a second, am I going to spend that extra money? I'm never going to get a return on that.
So it's optional to build it. It's not that every build has to reach certain.
You do not. It is optional. But right. Again, I think over time it's going to become more and more regulatory, and you're going to have to do it. And you know, you'll be biting the bullet and spending it anyway. And you know,
David, would you also say that there's certainly. Building zoning codes, you know, by market that would also dictate how you might have to comply in certain markets?
Absolutely, without a doubt. That's where I say, you know, a lot of that becomes very regulatory because, again, it depends on where you want to build, depends on who you want to build it for. It really becomes, you know, contingent on sometimes the end user. Again, Mark alluded to the fact that, you know, you may be required as part of an RFP to build a Leader Edge certified building, and if you don't, go someplace else. We don't want to deal with you. Mm-hmm. So you know that becomes the challenge. You know, when you look at renovating a hotel, you know, recycled versus non-recycled product, there is a cost differential to doing it. You know, I once looked at carpet retrofits in Holiday Inns in the UK. And I had a vendor come to me, had a great product that solved the problem with pollution globally. Mm-hmm. And it was making carpet out of discarded fishing line in the coastline of Indonesia. The cost, though, was four times what it would cost to use a non-sustainable product. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, you look at that and you say, well, you really can't afford it. You know, it's a great thing to put in your tagline, great storyline, but when the business can't afford it, it's like, okay, what's the alternative?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mark, your kind of comments around that new build to different standards and retrofit and...
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, starts with, you know, kind of the mindset of the owner and you know, what their focus is and you know, also, you know, what tier that they want to play in, you know, and who their target market is. I think there is an aspect, you know, the regulatory piece is going to take care of itself, right? So what I have to do, I will do. I have to do that. As David said, the optionals are where you have to make some decisions. And so is that doing the right thing so I can do the right thing, both morally, ethically, and socially responsibly? Is it going to factor into my overall marketing approach? CitizenM has made it a point to make that part of their, you know, forward, you know, perspective, you know, from a consumer facing aspect. And then, you know, figuring out, to your point, in any brand, you know, how do you make whatever you're driving consistent across the brand? So from a new build perspective, from a retrofit build perspective, whatever you're going to hang your hat on, you can't only hang it on half of your hats. It has to be consistent. And so if it's something that you want to be, you know, kind of public facing with, I think, you know, over time it will continue to evolve. And, you know, just like the check-in process, just like the, you know, how people book a hotel room has changed over the last 30 years. It will continue to change, and I mean, certainly COVID has changed the face of what urban markets look like, mm-hmm. and you know, office usage and you know, alternate use of some of these buildings will also be an interesting perspective. And how do, you know, in some of these cases, will an older building have an either a higher and better use? Will it in some cases be better to scrape it and start fresh and because of some of these new requirements? And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, just the financials, and looking at the lifetime of a certain asset.
Yeah. David,
one of the last pieces as well is the measurement of all of this. And I think that adds a lot of confusion as well. When, you know, you have companies that talk to, you know, getting to net zero, you know, mm-hmm. reducing carbon footprint. I think it started with the airlines and they started this measurement by carbon credits. And
companies were trading carbon credits.
And, you know, you had to be a rocket scientist to figure out, well, what did that all mean anyway? I mean, it sounded like another cryptocurrency in some respect. You know, you were trading that wasn't, you know, wasn't tangible. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't smell it. You couldn't feel it, but it was there. So I think as we get to, you know, that idea of net zero, you know, how do you measure it? How do you feel comfortable about measuring it? And, you know, what are the greatest impacts then that you can make to get to that net zero? Again, we've hit all of the low-hanging fruit, but what are the next biggest things that we can hit that have the greatest impact?
Mm-hmm. And that leads me on to kind of almost the final question, because I'm conscious of your guys' time, is that to me, we can talk about all of these things, but it requires leadership. Ultimately, whether that be governmental leadership, we can have associations that can be trying to lead a charge. But unless we have leaders, either from the finance in terms of how and where they're going to invest, leaders from the major hotel groups, and then taking it down to property level. I mean, if you don't have a GM who actually believes this stuff and embraces it and wants to drive it forward, I mean, culturally, that's not going to get driven into the property, is it? We're going to end up with, what's the minimum box I can tick to maybe get me a level of certification that I can put it on my marketing or put it on my door? But is it truly making a change? I mean, I don't want you to necessarily highlight, if we got good people to highlight them. I'm not expecting you to throw anybody under the bus, but I'd be interested just in your commentary for people who have worked in this industry for a number of years, seen the changes, can see the direction, are consulting and working with businesses. What are you seeing from a leadership perspective around this particular topic?
David,
I got you both going on that one, right?
Yeah, exactly. We were ready to jump in. Go ahead, David. I took the first several times.
Yeah, no worries. I think it takes, very strong, courageous leadership, not only from the top. I mean, you see the corporations have, installed committees around environmental, social, and governance issues. I think that same needs to be pushed down to, the property level. I think you need to have a very strong committee that is, dedicated to environmental and social issues as these hotels exist within a community, and not only, the corporate community, but the communities in which they reside, so that we can get, kind of the best results, but that needs to be supported by strong management. The initiatives that are suggested by these committees need to have some chance of, being implemented into these properties, and then, best learning shared across the businesses.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. Number one, you find your large brand companies, brand management companies, defining specifications, brand standards that require their franchisees and owner operators to comply to certain standards that they've set. And so I think that starts with the forward face of strong leadership saying these things are important to us as a brand, and we want there to be consistency. One thought as we were talking about new builds that struck me is, a lot of the specifications from a construction mechanical perspective are defined by architectural drawings, and during that initial phase there has to be a seat at the table for operations and for what is the business model perspective, not just, what does this building look like and, is it energy efficient, quote unquote, but, how does that fit into the overall narrative as to how we're building a hotel? So I think that's really important to kind of have at the initial stage. So, I think brand standards is one form of strong leadership. Certainly the business plan as kind of operator leadership at the operating level, and then all the way to the general manager as they define their business plan. That's going to define certain things that they prioritize, and it's around operations, it's around people, it's around processes, and so they've got to figure out how does sustainability fit into each of those areas, and then lastly. To your point, I think it's the general manager showing strong leadership and engaging and enrolling the entire team, because You can have a great commitment and talk about commitment to recycling, but if your housekeepers aren't enforcing that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, room to room, and truly understand why and buy into it, then, you know, it's a strategy poorly executed. And so I think to your point, you know, property leadership is critical to implementing a lot of these things.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you. Very, it's a very interesting topic. It's a very wide topic, as we highlighted right with the very first question. It can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of levers to pull that can influence one direction over another. And I think sometimes you always feel, you know, we live in a binary world, doesn't it? You either got to do it or you don't do it. And life isn't quite, it's like you either got to be sustainable or not quite sustainable. It's like, well, hold on, I've got to make choices. I've got to balance things. This is a fairly nuanced, it's a nuanced topic. It's a nuanced area to explore. And the decisions are quite nuanced in terms of how you've got to balance that for your hotel, both in the short term and long term. But I think fundamentally to me, and why I find it very interesting, is all of these things come back. It's why I wanted that question at the end to leadership. You know, we can be given a tick sheet to do and we can tick it off. But there's a difference between ticking off a sheet because we comply with what someone says we should do and actually showing leadership because we know it's morally and the ethically right thing to do. And we're prepared to make some business choices to support that. So, and I think what you guys have highlighted today is kind of, we've touched on areas and kind of scratched off some of the surface and looked below a little bit at some of the things that we could be doing and at least started to pose some of those questions and open some of those areas that we could be discussing. So really appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks. Great to participate in a very important topic for our industry.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to David and Mark for joining us. Are you seeing genuine sustainability efforts, or do you think it is more of a greenwashing PR exercise? Either way, please feel free to let us know. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.